So, Evan, this topic today is sort of near and dear to my heart right now because I feel like a villain.
So, it's good that you feel like a villain, but you must truly be a villain to be a villain.
Well, you see, after that tournament we were at the other weekend, where, you know, our first one in the area, I was kind of worried, like, about playing in it. Are people going to rally up and want to beat me because I'm the experienced guy, or what's going to happen? But then I sat down to play the last match, the championship match with Jason, and he's like, oh man, I got the end boss here. I gotta go up against M. Bison.
M. Bison? Street Fighter? Yes, I know who he is.
Oh. Sounded like you had to think about him a little bit. So I can think of nothing better to do right now than talk about villains. Welcome back. This is another episode of The Reserve Pool. In fact, episode 52. And you might notice that we're doing things just a little bit differently. This is, I guess, the new 52 or something like that. Yes. And who you hear laughing on the line is the person from whom I have inherited all of these awful puns. Joining me again, as he does every week, Evan. How are things, Evan?
Quite good. Thank you.
Excellent. Excellent.
I'm happy to see my pun virus has infected other people. This is sort of how it goes.
It really has. In fact, if there was a Reserve Pool Dice Masters set, that would be your power. You would infect others with pun virus. Like, it would change text on cards.
I would be the Punisher.
Oh, no. No. Awful. I'm going to ignore that and move on. No, we are doing things just a shade differently here, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun and kind of motivated me and all that kind of stuff. But before we get into anything that we're going to talk about here, first, please remember we have the big Reserve Pool Year 1 contest going on the forums, and there is a post that Ken put up just a few days ago before, well, actually, I guess from this point, about a week or so ago, that explains how you can get points for more entries. But basically, you get points by being an awesome community member. Maintain your blog. Post to the forum. Substantive posts. I can speak, I swear. All those sorts of things. Add and share files. Just all, you know, contribute to the wiki. All sorts of different things that you can do to gain more chances. And there are many, many gravity feeds available as the prize. So that has to be noted before anything else. We really want to hype the heck out of that.
Similarly, the Uncanny X-Men OP Month 1 contest is open until tomorrow. So if you want to enter that, do so soon.
Yes, you should do that. And again, scan back in the history of the blogs, and you'll be able to see what's happening there.
So, yeah, we're just looking for neat thematic teams from our avid listeners.
We sure are. All right, Evan, so let's talk some Dice Masters. This is a new thing that we're going to call the first word. This is a little discussion topic that we can just have at the very beginning of the show. Just kind of swapping stories about games of Dice Masters that we're playing or that we've seen played and different situations that we find ourselves in and how it worked. So today, I guess, this sort of came up because, well, I don't know about you. I mean, I guess probably not as much since you're not able to make it to Worlds, but I've been doing some playtesting, and we've been firing a lot of teams and talking to each other and watching each other play games and all that kind of stuff. I have to ask, have you ever, like, forgot what team you were piloting, or maybe you saw something across the board like, oh, that's Black Widow, it must be Sarina, and it turns out, oh no, that's the rare, you know, thought it was something else? Like JT mentioned this at Canadian Nationals, that he had some people who thought he saw Hulk and figured, oh, he must have Green Goliath, when of course he had a Jade Giant. So I don't know if this is something that's happened to you, Evan. Certainly has happened to me.
I've actually done it to people with exactly the example you'd picked with the I had a Black Widow, was the rare, and everyone assumed it was Sarina. A lot of people breathed a sigh of relief when, oh, it's not Sarina, thank goodness. And then when I actually showed them what I use it for, they were not amused.
Yeah. It's kind of fun to confuse people with that, right? Like, or cards that have globals that are similar to other globals, but they're cards that maybe not everyone is as familiar with. That's
right
too. I was at U.S. Nationals and had just played two games in a row where Blue Eyes White Dragon was available. And, I mean, I didn't have it on my team. The other person brought it. But, you know, I was very accustomed to playing with it, obviously. I knew how to use it. I just couldn't fit it on. So it's another game, and Blue Eyes is not there. And I start playing a turn and saving an energy for the Blue Eyes Global. Like, it's not even there. There's nothing that would make me think it was there. I'm just like, oh, yeah, two games in a row we had Blue Eyes. We just have Blue Eyes. No, we did not. Now, luckily, I didn't, like, try in Blue Eyes and inadvertently break the rules or something like that. I realized what I was doing, but I felt pretty dumb. Like, I'm sure the guy across from me was like,
what are you doing, man?
Bolts for? What, why do you want a bolt? I don't understand.
Yeah. I actually, at my particular scene, I actually have a lot of players who are new to the game, or, you know, they don't necessarily go for those super-duper tier 1 teams, and, you know, I'm not fighting 18,000 Hulks and 12 billion. I mean, half the time, people don't even use the Professor X Global. Like, they don't have him on the team. They don't. Sometimes they don't even realize, like, oh, he's really awesome. Or they just don't want to. Either way, you know, people are playing with a lot of times it's people playing with the characters they like. And, you know, more power to that. I can definitely feel that. So a lot of times I'm seeing cards I wouldn't really expect to see if I was playing at, like, you know, a Nationals level. And it keeps me on my toes. So I try not to make those mistakes. Yeah. Yeah. I have to look at what's on the board.
Okay. Well, that's.
And I'm honestly happy. I appreciate it. I get to try things against, you know, not the same team every time. And, you know, I get to try lots of different things. And I think it's actually helpful for testing stuff. Maybe not the high end testing, but it means I get to see how it works and, you know, against the set as opposed to a very small set of cards.
Yeah, and you never know what's going to be, like, people find creative uses for things all the time. You don't know what they're going to come at you with and how it's going to work or whatever else. So, but yeah, I guess a good lesson would be pay attention, and maybe, Evan, that's a blessing in disguise for you, because you're just going to be in a situation where you are always looking and scanning, and you just get in that habit.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I find I have to.
All right, then. All of that being said, let's take a look at what we have coming in from around the network this week.
It's time for In the Field, brought to you by the Reserve Pool Network. And now your host, RJ Retro.
Well, it's not the full episode. It's just a teaser for the first interview that we did for In the Field. The first person I talked to was Necromanticer, who is an active poster on the Reserve Pool forum, and he likes to really build his own teams and look at mechanics that don't really get a lot of love. You may have noticed he does a blog that's called Off the Meta, which you can find on thereservepool.com, and I figured he would be a great person to sort of get into the discussion about certain mechanics in the game and certain things that you like and dislike about Dice Masters. And the first interview, we talked a lot about PXG and whether he thought it was good or bad for the meta.
No, not at all. I cannot stand PXG. I'm one of the fierce proponents against it. I think that if you have a card that is so ubiquitous that it basically has to be on every single team, otherwise it's not meta, then I think that there's something wrong with that card. And I honestly think that there's a few things wrong with a lot of the early cards that they released in Dice Masters. Things along the lines of Gabi or Serena are just not quite in line with the general power level of other cards, and I try my best to get away from that when I'm building, which means that I'm not quite at a competitive level. But I think that it also adds a lot of character to my sorts of teams. So I can kind of take it away from these same characters that you see every time, like Johnny, Storm, or Hulk, Green Goliath, and look at some really interesting interactions with some of the characters that aren't quite meta.
That's just a small snippet of the interview that I did with Necromanticer for In the Field, and the full interview will be posted at a later date at thereservepool.com, because whenever something Dice Masters related happens, you gotta go to TRP. Back to the Reserve Pool podcast with Dave and Evan. Da, 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 da.
So, we've been in the DC block, or the first DC block for a good bit now, and Justice League and it's in the DC Universe has some of the most iconic villains we'll see, you know, equivalent to all the Doctor Dooms and other, and such not in the Marvel Universe. So I think now that we've talked about the Justice League, we really need to go into the villain side, their evil counterparts.
Oh my goodness, do we? I mean, between the Legion of Doom and just the generically villain-affiliated people, we have so much to have fun with in this set. And I got to say that where we talked about in previous weeks, and I don't want to jump the gun here, but where we've talked in previous weeks about them kind of like, oh, this should be in the Justice League and this should not or whatever else, they did something awesome with the villains here, where if you look at the Legion of Doom, it's pretty much the Legion of Doom that you think about. It's Manta, Brainiac, Cheetah, Luthor, Sinestro, and Grundy. Like, it's almost like it is the Legion of Doom from Super Friends. Like, it's... I mean, Captain Cold's in there, too, but and I don't associate him as much with that, but that's more my own ignorance,
wasn't
I think, than anything
Bizarro
else.
Bizarro in the Legion of Doom, too?
Bizarro, yes. Bizarro is a notable absence, but, you know, what are you going to do?
He will be not missed.
He will be not missed. Well, I'd like to see him eventually.
No. It was a Bizarro pun. I said not missed, so I meant he'd be missed.
Well played, good sir. So these villains are... they are these people. They are Darkseid, Deathstroke, Harley Quinn, and the Joker. Those are our non-Legion of Doom villains, right? And then we work into Black Manta, Brainiac, Captain Cold, Cheetah, Luthor, Sinestro, and Grundy. And sometimes Catwoman?
Yeah, occasionally Catwoman, though. Yeah. I have to say, I feel more and more like she is becoming increasingly not a villain.
Yeah, it depends on how and where she's used, and certainly we have recognition of that in this set, because only one version of Catwoman is, in fact, a villain, and that is Femme Fatale, the rare. So, yes. But those are the villains. So I guess before we get too deep, like, what stands out to you among the villain abilities here? Like, I definitely have my favorites, and I think we could both probably agree right away, Cheetah. We both love Cheetah.
Yeah, she's just a generally really useful ability. I mean, anything that pings your opponent in a way that they can't really prevent is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I am a huge, huge fan of both the common and uncommon Black Mantas.
Oh,
the common is... almost as good. I mean, he's almost as good as Pyro at half the cost. Mm-hmm. As the common Pyro at half the cost. And, I mean, your opponent can prevent that, but sometimes it means doing some less than ideal blocks, and that can open up ways in other ways. Or open up advantages for you in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean... everyone knows how much I like Nasty Boy, and the uncommon's just Nasty Boy on particularly strong performance-enhancing drugs.
Speaking of performance-enhancing drugs, I would have to bring up Deathstroke next as somebody that I really like. I mean, the one that's in the packs in the wild, not in the starter set, is Weapons Master, right? When Deathstroke is fielded, deal one damage to the opposing player for each villain you control. That just fits so well on so many different villain-oriented teams. And really, if you have that going as well as like the Black Manta or the Nasty Boy going, then you're hitting them on the way in and you're hitting them on the way out for all the villains that are out there. And that is pretty cool, too. And plus, I just like Deathstroke. Deathstroke is awesome.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's played a pretty big role in the more recent,
the new 52?
I wouldn't know. I was going to say, in the DC cinematic universe, I suppose.
Oh,
it's more TV.
Sure. The TV one. Yes, of course. Like, all of season 2 of Arrow was basically about Deathstroke.
Right, and he, you know, spoilers, sorry, but he was kind of in season 1.
He was. Well, I mean, if you know, you see the mask and you see, hey, this guy's name is Slade Wilson.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, I wonder who that's going to end up being. Now, I mean, I would say that's a spoiler if you don't follow DC stuff at all, but
right.
At the same time, they would have gone to if they cared whether or not people were going to figure that out, then they wouldn't have like they would have given him an assumed name or a nickname or not told you his name.
My name
like
is
that.
Bobby Ryan, and then later his name. Yeah, no, it's actually Slade Wilson. By the way, I'm Deathstroke now.
Yes. Oh, or maybe his name will be what did they call Khan before in Star Trek Into Darkness? John something.
I could not say.
I don't remember either. Though, how cool would Khan be in this game? Anyway, let's get back to it.
Hey, it could happen.
It could happen. They do have Star Trek licenses, but WizKids does.
Right.
But in any case, I would say just from a pure like fun to use standpoint, those are some of my favorite villains. But what about like thematically here? I mean, if I want to talk about that for a minute, I have to go with the matchup of Harley Quinn and the Joker, especially the common Harley Quinn and I guess any Joker, right?
And how one-directional it is. I forget who pointed that out to me. But
it was me in our set review.
Yes, but that's just a wonderful touch that, like, Joker doesn't really care at all that Harley Quinn's there. In fact, if he's in his rare form, he might actually hurt her.
Yes.
But she always helps him, or almost always helps him.
Yeah, like, on her common, she is just, like, 100% paves the way for Joker, and then Joker gets here and is like, move aside, toots, and that's just it. That's their relationship in a nutshell. And thematically, I love that for you know, more reason than one. That's pretty cool. What else stands out thematically to you?
I think I mentioned Lex, just throwing his money around, stopping things from happening.
All of his power suit shenanigans, of course.
Yeah.
I think Sinestro works pretty well in that way. I mean, he basically in every form he helps like buff villains, whether through a global or making them cost less to field or giving them +1/+1. Well, only if there are no opposing villains active. But I mean, to me, that really fits the idea of Sinestro. You know, he's not just like at the beginning he was like the Yellow Lantern, but there's a whole Yellow Lantern Corps at this point. Sinestro being the leader of that sort of anti-good group. Like, I mean, they're not just so much evil, but they're just like everything through fear and whatever else. That I think Sinestro really works that way because he's a leader in his own right. Though not necessarily connected with the Legion of Doom in the way that he's a leader.
Right. I think he participates in the Legion stuff, but
oh, he sure does.
Yeah. Other good villain. I think other thematic villains, I really wish they'd made Solomon Grundy thematic. He isn't really.
No, let's see. Let's look at the common here. While Solomon Grundy is blocking, he takes no damage from characters with a lower level. I mean, I guess a degree of imperviousness is thematic. Let's see. Uncommon, KO any character of a lower level engaged with Solomon Grundy after damage is dealt.
Yeah, I mean, I would have liked to see, like, regeneration on one of his faces.
That's what he
something needed.
Yeah, regeneration needed to be on Solomon Grundy, and it just wasn't. Otherwise, he'd be incredibly thematic. As it is, he's just a sort of expensive thing with sort of okay stats.
When you said sort of expensive thing, did you mean actually thing, or...
Well, I guess he is.
Either interpretation could be correct, I'd say.
Yeah, he's just a sort of expensive die. That can't die. Well, thematically, he shouldn't die, but in this game, he does. This knocking out stuff that he's engaged with or that dealt him damage or whatever else, I mean, okay, but I think more of the fact that Solomon Grundy is just hard to kill as the main, like, thrust for Mr. Grundy.
That's what I remember about him, that he's, you know, kind of a zombie, so he's sort of really hard to kill.
You have to, like, kill him 3 different times in Arkham City before he actually goes down. So that's actually one of my favorite. I don't know why. It's not a particularly difficult fight, but that is one of my favorite fights. And I have to say again, for probably the umpteenth week in a row, if you like Batman and you haven't played Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, do it. I'm playing through Arkham Origins right now, which is not as good as the other two, but it's still pretty good. Anyway.
I also think Brainiac's pretty thematic. He's all about, like, monkeying around with stuff.
Yeah, his stuff is thematic. I just wished I liked it all more. Like, as a total package, it's pricey. No, I mean, again, purely thematic standpoint, solid.
Yeah.
But from a gameplay standpoint, his stats are not that great. He's expensive to field. he's just kind of like over that line of getting to be expensive to buy. And I think when you match that total fielding cost of six up with a
five,
he's
purchase
all
costs.
Fives to purchase.
Yeah, he's expensive and doesn't really quite do enough.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he definitely monkeys around with things, but I feel like if you're going to invest that much into something that just monkeys around, it needs to really monkey around with things, right?
Maybe
like,
we'll
like
have
Storm.
To wait. Maybe we'll have to wait for Gorilla Grodd.
Oh, Gorilla Grodd would be great
for monkeying around with things.
Oh no! So a five cost card that monkeys around pretty well that comes to mind right away is Storm Windrider, right? She costs five, and, her fielding cost is much cheaper than Briniac as well, but she's doing some direct removal and perhaps even some damage. Whereas Briniac here, you may make your opponent put one die from their draw back into the bag and redraw before they roll. That could be cool if you really don't want to see that one thing. But what I find with these things that only target one thing is that eventually there's going to come a turn where there are two or three things that you don't want to see, and you would really ideally put them all back in the bag, and you don't really have a good choice. And by the time you would get him out, your opponent might be at that spot. So I don't think he's something that's reliable.
Right.
And if he's not usable, his stats are really fair to middling.
Yeah. I mean, he's a decent blocker, I guess, but you know what's a decent blocker too? A sidekick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's look at a cool one here. Oh, geez. A cool one, which is Captain Cold. I did not intend on that, but whatever. Captain Cold is certainly another villain in this set, and I think the common has gotten a lot of discussion. In fact, there was a Reddit thread just recently about this. It's like, why do we have Captain Cold and Black Canary basically doing the same thing?
Villains can enjoy it too. Also, so you can say snart as much as possible.
Well, snart is a great thing to say. I buy snart here. Snart. Sounds weird.
The Thundercats set is
That's
coming
what I was thinking
next.
Of. Snarf, yeah. Snarf. Yeah. I was not a Thundercats fan, but I digress. So the thing with him here is that Canary costs three, Snart costs four. Canary fields for as expensively as one, and Snart fields for as expensively as three. Total opposite range of fielding costs here. So I could easily be getting and juggling around four Black Canary dice. I'm going to have a hard time juggling around four Captain Cold. Now, I think all of Captain Cold stuff works. It's thematic, right? Because it's like, yeah, they kind of have to pay that tax because he freezes you in that position unless you kind of expend some energy to thaw yourself. Or he just does other things, right? He freezes you. You can't block or whatever else.
That said, he does have stronger stats. Mm-hmm. And he is a bolt himself, so maybe it's a little less onerous to fit him in on a team where you might want to pay. You'll be able to pay that bolt.
Oh no, that's absolutely true. But if I can't juggle multiple Captain Bolts the way I can juggle multiple Black Canaries.
Maybe you can if you use Sinestro.
There you go. But now we're talking about buying how many of a four cost, as well as ensuring that we have a five cost out on the board already. Canary, I mean, the difference between a 3 and a 4, especially in DC, is pretty significant. But I see your point here. So I guess that kind of brings us into the next area, which would probably be synergies here. We've covered a lot about the affiliations and stuff that we like here. And let's start with Sinestro, since you brought it up. That's probably the biggest villain synergy that we have, apart from Retaliation, wouldn't you say?
He kind of ties together villain teams, in my opinion. The villains are not cheap. In general, this set is not cheap on the fielding costs. And pinging one off of your fielding costs makes a lot of teams go much more smoothly. I've actually gotten to the point where I try not to play villains if I can't get a Sinestro.
Wow, really?
If you're going to go for a strategy that involves fielding guys a lot, especially like if you're going to be using that Deathstroke, if you're going to be throwing Cheetahs out, because Cheetah you want to be attacking with constantly, so she's going to, you know, be knocked out or go to used a lot. You don't want to be constantly, you know, okay, well, I drew three characters and now I have to come up with four energy.
Mm-hmm.
Sinestro makes that to a much more manageable one.
Okay.
And
yeah.
I think he greases the wheel tremendously. He's like my second buy nowadays.
I'm with you there, and I have similar feelings about the Wonder Woman on the Justice League side. We said that who does basically the same thing, but for Justice League characters,
and, right? Who are also very expensive.
Yeah, and we said the same thing there. Though, I mean, I guess Manta and Cheetah, I'm not as concerned with their fielding costs. Though you're right that it does add up over time.
Yeah,
I'm more concerned with fielding somebody like a Captain Cold or.
Or Deathstroke.
Deathstroke,
it's, you know, okay, he's not TFC6, but it's still two on two faces. That's not cheap.
Well, he's as close to TFC6 as you can be, right. Given that he's five.
Okay. Yes. Until we start seeing them TFC7 characters.
Oh, boy.
Someday.
Hey, we could. There's nothing that says that they have to, that the six is the upper limit. Who knows?
Right.
A synergy I'd like to bring up here is actually Blue Beetle. Now,
yes.
If you're playing a villain against a villain's team, Blue Beetle is also worth having. I certainly included him on my DC draft team, not only because, well, he's a Bolt, but I had a villain in Cheetah, and that she could activate that. And with all these crazy villains in this set, there's a good shot my opponent's going to do something with villains, so why not do that? And I'm talking, of course, about the Blue Beetle, who deals one damage to your opponent whenever a villain is fielded. Now, he himself is not a villain.
Right.
But he does work very well. If you're going to do things like try and get your villain attack with them, try and get things knocked out and trigger retaliation and then bring them back around, well, Blue Beetle is your guy. And he's not expensive to field. And his stats aren't amazing, but they certainly
could
be worse.
Yeah, they're decent and not bad for the cost.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, Blue Beetle's kind of weird in that he's a sideboard card, in that he targets a particular flavor of team, but he's actually worth taking just in general.
I agree. I mean, certainly he made it to my DC draft team because, well, again, I had a villain, and I knew I might see villains, so there he was. I didn't necessarily buy him every game unless I thought, well, I need to punish my opponent a little extra when I'm using Cheetah. Or perhaps because, oh, geez, they have villains, they have this Black Manta David here, and I don't want to get swarmed with that, so I might as well do something about it. Okay. He kind of helps both sides, which is pretty nifty. And if there are two equivalent villain teams, and one has Blue Beetle and the other does not, the team with the Blue Beetle should probably win.
Right.
And he's a significant advantage in that way. And don't you love that we have all these commons in this set that just are, like, bonanza? Bananas.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it's actually really nice. I think we've been discussing the concept of this is a bit of a diversion, but in competitive Pokemon play, there's something called the Little Cup, which is you're not allowed to use evolved Pokemon. You can only use basic form, or unevolved Pokemon, or not completely evolved Pokemon.
And, I've heard of this.
Yeah, I think there is some discussion of, you know, maybe we should get something similar going in Dice Masters where you're only allowed to use commons.
Yeah, just like the Popper form in Magic the Gathering where you only use commons. And because when I was getting ready to wind down for the evening and I thought, let's log on to Vassal and see what's going on. And, well, there were RJ and Pat, right, RJ Retro and Shadowmeld, playing on Vassal. And I pop in and I pop onto Google Hangouts and we're just chatting a little bit and... That's exactly what they were doing, was something of a Little Cup, using just just the commons there. Now, I had not heard the term Little Cup before, so I wasn't sure exactly what they meant by that. But now hearing the Pokemon reference, it's kind of come full circle, and I now see that Little Cup and Popper are essentially the same exact thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty nifty. Yeah. I like that idea a lot, and it works well for this set. Let's talk about another one that just is great in common and uncommon, and really the rare's not too shabby either, and that would be Black Manta. You knew we were going to talk about that one on a villains episode, right? I mean, Evan, right. I know you're a big fan of this guy.
Yes. I mean, when I saw him, and this is like in, I think I don't even remember, it was either in my first draft, or I think I just bought 12 packs at Nationals, and I saw him, and I'm like, my goodness, it's Mr. Sinister, but... just better on almost every front.
Oh, yeah, my gosh. He's cheaper to buy. He's cheaper to field.
Yeah, he's cheaper to field. He has arguably better stats. Mr. Sinister has much more offensively slanted stats. But I think you're getting a lot more stats with Black Manta than you would be with Mr. Sinister. Mm-hmm. So, and his ability is more powerful. It's not you do one damage every time a villain is knocked out. It is you do an amount of damage equal to how many villains are left.
Right, right. Now, for the newer folks, we do have to remind you that this is counting unique villains, right. Not individual villains.
If you have four Black Mantas, you are only if you have four Black Mantas and a Cheetah, and Cheetah is knocked out, you only deal one damage.
Exactly. Cheetah is no longer active because she's knocked out, and Black Manta is only one villain, no matter how many of him you have in this case. But yeah, that's an awesome one. But you know what? Even the common here is just really cool. If Black Manta is damaged during the attack step and not knocked out, deal one damage to an opposing player.
It means he can't be chump blocked.
It means he can't be chump blocked. And realistically, he's 1, 3, 2, 4, 3, 5. He has decent defensive numbers, especially right. for such a cheap character. His defensive numbers are actually, I would say, pretty solid even for his cost.
Yeah,
to put some power into knocking him out, which means that your opponent either can't block something else or has to have a less favorable blocking matchup somewhere else. Like, it gives your opponent bad decisions to make. And if they can't knock him out, so much the better for you.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, I've definitely had turns where my opponent's like, but I have to double block him because I don't want to take that extra damage. And mm-hmm. that let me, you know, poke down someone who they might not have actually, like, they'd have just sort of had a null block happen, but this let me, you know, pave the way a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and especially as you get, when you're probably, like, maybe from 13 to 20 life, you don't care as much. You'll take that little ping. But as you start to get to 12, 10, and lower, it's...
You can't ignore
each individual point of life becomes more valuable. It's like in baseball, right? When it's early in the game, or it's late in the game, when you start to see them really manufacture a run because they don't have as many outs left. That's when you start to see some of the stolen bases and the bunting and whatever else, because they just need to get a guy on, hit him over into scoring position, and then see what you can do. It's similar here. Your life total is very different depending on where you are in the game and where you are on your life total. How much do you have left to be okay with taking that one? And you're in a position where it's like, geez, I really don't want to tick down to 8 because that could be bad for me because of whatever my opponent has.
Yeah,
but I really don't want to block with this thing and get it knocked out because I don't know if I'll be able to afford to field everything that I have to field next turn or something like that.
Or, you know, maybe I'll wind up rolling all energy and then I have no defenses and my opponent just punches me down.
Yep. You said it, sir. You said it. So let's move forward then. Like, first looking inset, there's a pretty solid team to be made here, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Retaliation, for one.
Yeah, I mean, you get, honestly, either Black Manta. The uncommon is the one I prefer, but you can do plenty of great things with the... With the common one,
mm-hmm.
you know, you grab Black Manta, Sinestro, and the common Cheetah. You're pretty golden. you
really
have
are.
Got a core there.
You really are. Yes, and I mean this isn't just draft. This is in, you know, hybrid constructed or really, however, or even full constructed in DC. However you're going to do it, if you kind of go with a mix of those characters, you have a pretty good core put together. Maybe even grab the Deathstroke.
Yeah, he's nice. He gets, again, he's a little pricey. I'd mm-hmm. really be worried about playing with him without Sinestro around.
Right.
But
I think he would be your curve topper.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that, again, for those who are less familiar to some of that terminology, it's the idea that, okay, I got my 2-cost, my 3-cost. You know, I've got my progression of characters out. Now Deathstroke's the one who kind of comes in and helps me close the door. He's the one who's, like, the most expensive one I'm going to buy. He's basically what it was all building towards. Not that he is the climactic card that shuts the door, but that if you get him there, he helps. And he's not a dead spot on his own because he does a lot of good work on his own.
Yeah, he has pretty decent stats in of himself. He's expensive, right. but he has decent stats.
Right, exactly.
And you want to get him knocked out so you can put him right back again.
Right. I think the Retaliation team is probably the most likely to succeed team of any villain thing that you could put together with this deck.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if you go with those kind of cards we were talking about, maybe throw in a Blue Beetle.
Absolutely.
Then you have some really good options.
Yeah.
I think what's really interesting about the villains, though, when we talk about this, and we talked about rarity a moment ago too, is that it's really the commons and the uncommons that excite me the most. and the rares are kind of like, eh. I mean, they're all right.
Yeah, a lot of them are interesting or, you know, potentially even good. But I'm not like, oh man, you know, my draft will completely fall apart if I do not get the rare Solomon Grundy.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's great from a couple of different standpoints. If you're somebody who's newer to the game or doesn't want to buy in a whole lot or whatever else, you can get a lot of mileage just, and you want to play a villain thematic team. You can get a lot of mileage just by saying, all right, got some commons and uncommons, go.
Yeah, you could buy a common and uncommon set and have, you know, I'm not going to say, oh, you'll go to Nationals and just knock the door down. Maybe you will, but sure, you'll do pretty well. You know, you have a decent team.
Absolutely, in multiple ways with this. We've talked about the Bolts team. We've talked about Justice League. We've talked about villains now. And, you know, again, the characters that excite us, sometimes thematically and from a gameplay standpoint, they're all commons and uncommons for the most part. Now, I will say this. I like the rare Sinestro. Your villains cannot be the target of opposing global abilities. But and I don't know that I like him more than the common.
Yeah.
So there's that.
And I was going to say, and there are, of course, a couple good super rares, but no super rare villains because prejudice? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, villains want to kind of spread their... They're kind of about planting their seed everywhere. They just want to, like, have sprouts of evil from all over the place. They don't want to be too hard to find.
Too overt about it.
I guess not, yeah. So in set, yeah, I don't think there's anything better we have than Retaliation. Out of set, I know you have been talking about trying to throw something together that includes both Black Manta and Mr. Sinister. How did that kind of come? I think I heard you talk about it, you had actually decided to get rid of Mr. Sinister from the team.
Yeah, I think he honestly just doesn't add enough. He's sort of expensive. It's nice to have the extra damage, but especially once you start getting, you know, multiple characters out, it's really just an incremental gain for having to buy a fairly expensive die and make sure it gets out. And you might actually want, you know, stuff that prevents your opponent from doing things instead. You know, you'll want your Constantine or whatever. And in the end, I think the thing I actually wound up picking, which was sort of a surprise to me, was Gobby.
Oh, yeah.
Because between Gobby and the make a die a villain global, you can just, like, make your sidekicks villains and then knock them out. Honestly, just Gobby, you kind of want to cycle him anyway, so you knock him out, you get your sidekick sitting there. And then you bring him back in, you do a ton of damage, and you knock him out and do a ton of damage, and you keep on doing this. Mm-hmm. And you just spend your energy making, like, villain or sidekicks villains. And then it's like, oh, well, I've got, like, these six villains out, and your opponent just sort of melts.
It's pretty fun. It really is. I mean, it needs a lot of moving parts, and it hates anything it hates to play against anything that triggers on taking damage, you know, your Hulks and so forth. But my goodness.
Goblin of the Sea is the name of the deck.
Goblin of the Sea?
Yes. Like Chicken of the Sea?
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I got
it. Chicken of the Sea, but with Goblin.
My goodness. But yeah, it is extraordinarily fun. And actually, I think that in a couple of weeks, we will probably talk about, and I don't have a hard date for this, but we are probably going to talk about the Villains United, especially as more of Age of Ultron comes into focus. We're going to talk about, like, the villains as a full group, at least to this point, because obviously that could all be stood on its head by the time War of Light or Amazing Spider-Man get here.
Right, because they're actually the only affiliation we've seen that has crossed not set boundaries, but, like, property boundaries. Avengers are obviously not in DC or, you know, Dungeons and Dragons.
But villains are villains no matter what the superhero set. I'm waiting for them to say that evil characters in D&D count as villains, but they haven't done that yet.
Lex Luthor riding a Dracolich.
I want that to happen so much. So, Evan, I guess let's just kind of bring this home then. What would you say, I mean, I can make a guess as to what it is, but what would you say your favorite villain is in this set?
Oh, in this set? It is the Uncommon Manta. I love the Retaliation.
Very cool. For myself, I have to go with the Common Cheetah.
Also a strong choice. Reasons.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Well, you know, knowing that I like draft, as I do, it's probably the obvious one. You know, people have been talking about, well, why would you why is there separation between the common Cheetah and the uncommon Hawkman? There was a question about that on our tier lists. Why would you have that separation there? Well, there's two reasons. One, I mean, yes, they're the same cost, and yes, they do damage to your opponent in varying ways. Cheetah's is, I guess Cheetah's damage is probably slightly easier to have triggered, right? Because Hawkman maybe isn't blocked or could get distraction back and it doesn't happen. But, well, the thing is, though, that Cheetah is a bolt and a villain, and Hawkman is just a bolt. So drafting Cheetah lets me look at two different archetypes. It keeps me open, and that's why I like her over Hawkman, and that's why, just kind of in general, I like her. Now, if I see that Black Manta uncommon first, yeah, I'm probably going to try and take that. Ideally, I want them both. But
yes.
If I'm not sure, if I'm looking at my hand and I'm not sure, I'm scrolling through the cards, and then, oop, there is Common Cheetah. That's my pick.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely, my very first DC draft I had in my opening packs, I was disappointed because I didn't see any rares. But I also had one pack that had both the Common Cheetah and the uncommon Black Manta. I looked at this and I'm like, this is terrible. I can't decide which of these I like better. And ultimately, I took the Manta.
Sure.
But I did manage to get a common Cheetah later. And
excellent.
That went quite well.
All right. So that takes us to the end of this episode discussing villains. However, the discussion doesn't end here. We have forums. We have email. We have so many different ways that you can interact with us. So please do that. Please continue to follow us on Twitter and subscribe on YouTube and all those good things because we want to hear from you. We want to interact with you. So talk to us. Next week, we have our Origins preview. So that'll be big. Origins also means worlds. We have an episode of the prep area drop last Tuesday. We have an episode of the attack zone dropping next Tuesday. All kinds of stuff going on here at the Reserve Pool, all around the website and the podcast network. So please, please check it out. Otherwise, thanks for spending some time with us today, tonight, or whenever you happen to be listening. This is Dave.
And this is Evan.
And this has been The Reserve Pool. Have a good one.
Enjoy your day.